you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 5. Last week, Jesus Christ declared that he had been given all authority to execute judgment. And in today's passage, he goes on and he says, I do not just bear witness about myself. He says, many have come and they bear witness to who I am. And so he is telling us to listen to them, to be wise. And don't forget, since Jesus healed the invalid man on the Sabbath, his persecution has done nothing but increase. And in this persecution, as it has increased, his trial has begun. He is questioned over and over again, and his continual response is, I do not do my own will. I am here to do my Father's will. Something that we would be wise to take heed of. That we are not to live for our kingdom or to do our will. We are here for the Lord's kingdom and to do His will. We are ambassadors sent to a foreign land, and we are in our foreign land right now. This is not home. So please join me in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Last week, Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. An hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In today's passage, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has bore witness to the truth, not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. His voice you have never heard, His form you have never seen, and you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom He has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Christ is on the scene, and he is doing the Father's will in every aspect. We've already heard from his mouth that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man. He says, believe in me, have life in my name. And now as the trial has begun, and he says, look, I am not my only witness. In a court of law, that would not hold up. I have many witnesses, and you have ignored them. You have overlooked them. You have even read the Scriptures over and over again, and you missed the point that the Scripture was pointing to me. The Scripture was pointing to who I am. And so his first witness he lays out is John the Baptist. He says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And he says this, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. And it's interesting here, he says, there is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. And I believe that is referencing the Lord. He's saying, I know that his testimony is true. And then he gets back to that later, and he says, I'm going to give you one that you definitely know about. John the Baptist. You sent people to him. He told you exactly who he was and who I am. And you ignored him. They came back to you. They revealed to you the truth. You did not accept it. But in verse 30, Jesus said this, I do nothing on my own. And we've talked about this before. He says, why is this here? He says, he only does what he is told to do. He does what he sees the Father doing. As Jesus is told what to do, he listens and obeys. Isn't it an amazing grace to know that when Christ was here, he did God the Father's will 100%? That when you look upon Christ and you read exactly what he did, there was never a word that he misspoke. There was never an action that he did that was not truthful, not done in love, that was not perfect. The fact that he does the Father's will 100%. And as Jesus is told what to do, he listens and obeys. He is always seeking the Father's will and doing the Father's will. That's something that we should always love. When you open up God's Word and you read the fact that, man, this is perfect right here. He responded in complete obedience. It was everything that we needed right there. He's always seeking the Father's will and doing the Father's will. And this is why we are called to image Him. This is why when He sends us, we respond in obedience and we go. This is why when we go, we share His words, not our own. He says, there's power in those words. I will convict. I will do that. Just go. And Christ listened. And after the declaration of this truth, he informs the legalistic Jews at this point that he is not the only one who bears witness. In fact, look at verse 31. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. He says that if it's just my testimony in a court of law in a legal context, this will not hold up. But I'm here to say this. Even if Jesus was all alone, his testimony, his only testimony was himself, it will be true because Jesus is God. But in the legal context that he was referencing here, he was saying, this I know would not hold up in your court of law, but know that I'm not my only witness. There are many witnesses. God's will was that he was not alone. So he goes on to say in verse 32, there is another who bears witness about me. I know the testimony that he bears about me is true, referencing God the Father. And then he says, you sent to John. He has bore witness to the truth, not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. And then he says this about John the Baptist. He says, he was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Jesus says, remember when you sent men to John the Baptist, remember what John said. He said that, I am the Messiah, I am the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist was a faithful witness to others about who I am. And Jesus basically approved everything John the Baptist did. He says, remember who I'm claiming to be. I am God, I am the Messiah. Guess what? We sent John. The Father and I did. Everything he said is true. He was a burning and shining lamp. How many of you would want God to say that of you? Man, you burned for the Lord. You were a shining lamp, not only to your children, to your spouse, to your neighborhood, to your immediate family, to those at work. You were a burning and shining lamp. Now the words, he was, this could mean at this point that John had already been arrested and he was in prison, or it could mean that John was already beheaded. We don't know exactly the time frame at that point. But he said he was a burning and shining lamp. Then it said this. He said, you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. See, they indulged that what John said for a while, but eventually they rejected his proclamation of the truth. I think this is referencing Mark 6, 17 and 18, when John spoke against Herod Antipas' marriage, where Herod took his brother's wife from him. And John could not stand back idly. He said, this isn't right. And for that, later on, at the request of a party that he was attending, the sister said, yes, I want his head. And he agreed. And John was beheaded. They indulged him for a while. But they missed his reason. They missed the truth of his purpose. The fact that he was pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. The fact that no matter what situation entered into his life, he was a burning light. He was a lamp. And yeah, John failed just like we do. He was a sinner saved by grace, just like us. But the question still remains for us. Are you and I living a life like John? Because John was imaging Christ. Are you and I being a lamp? Not that we are the light, but we are to bear witness about the light. Are we being a lamp for the Lord? Do we want Jesus to look at us one day and say, you were a burning lamp for me? That's a hard question for us to ask and to constantly ponder. Because when we ask that, I think no matter who we are, we still look at our life and we still feel like, yeah, I've failed so many times in that. But that does not mean that we don't keep striving for holiness. That does not mean that we pick ourselves up and we keep running, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we pursue that holiness. Jesus confirms that John's testimony is from man. And he says this, I do not need his testimony, but I have it. This is what Jesus means when he says, not the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. Jesus was telling these people, I want you to be saved. That's why I'm telling you this. Everything you heard about John the Baptist, everything that got reported back to you, guess what? You listened to it. You know the words. Believe upon me. Jesus told them these things so they would be saved. But one cannot be saved without the proclamation of the gospel. And God desires all to hear the gospel. And he says, you've heard it straight from my mouth. Believe. And Jesus continues. He says, oh, I have more testimonies. This is not it. I have greater witnesses. Look at verse 36. The testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given to me to accomplish the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Jesus says, you want a testimony? Look at the works that I do. Look at the fact that I'm not doing that in my name. I'm doing it in the name of my Father. I'm doing His will. Jesus says, I have greater testimony than John the Baptist. My works that God the Father gave me to accomplish, look at what I'm doing and believe. Look at those things. All that I do bear witness to the truth that God the Father sent me. He's basically telling them, for one second, can you close your eyes, close your ears? Just close your ears for one second and open up your eyes and see who I am. Stop trying to debate. Stop throwing everything out there. Look at all the truth that is lined up against your false heresy. Look at everything. Look at what I've done. Close your ears and open up your eyes. Don't overlook the testimony of what I'm doing. See with your eyes that I am the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, and believe. So what did the Jews know about in reference to Jesus by this point? Well, they knew that He was traveling with the disciples, that Christ had called them out. He knew that they weren't the best of the best, right? In reality, they were just like us, unworthy,
fishermen, tax collectors.
They also knew that he had turned water into wine. That news had traveled fast. They knew that he had cleansed the temple. He says, "Don't make my house a house of trade. This is a house to spend time talking to the Lord in. A house of prayer." He knew that he had met with Nicodemus. Nicodemus had come to him at night, told him, "What you do must be saved. You must be born again." And don't look past this. Look what Nicodemus said to Christ. John 3, verse 1. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews." So this is what the Jews knew in John 3. "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God.'" So even in John 3, they said, "We know that you've come from God. We know that. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So Jesus just expounds upon that. He says, "I'm right in front of you. This is who I am." Jesus had also saved the woman at the well. And the woman bear witness to her testimony. She comes and calls and brings all them to him. Amazing, beautiful story. Jesus healed the official's son by his words. He didn't even have to be there. He says, "We come to heal my son." He's healed. Go. I mean, that's the power of God, right? Jesus healed the invalid in public on the Sabbath. And these works done by Jesus, they witness to the truth and the fact that Jesus is God. And when looking at history, Jesus accomplished everything that the Father gave him. And some people like to argue that and debate that. The fact is, Jesus isn't done yet. As we just talked about last week, Jesus will come back and he will execute judgment. That will happen. When we look at that in Scripture, we must look at it as if it's already a done deal. Everything that God the Father said would happen has happened. And everything that has not happened yet will take place. It will happen. His works witness to the truth that Jesus is God. Look at verse 37 with me. He goes on, "And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." So Jesus says, "My Father, God the Father, he is my witness." No, you haven't heard his voice. No, you haven't seen him. You don't believe in me. But God the Father bears witness to who I am. Now John did not record this in his gospel, but Matthew did. And Matthew said this in chapter 3, verse 16. "When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus upholds the truth that God the Father is a witness to who he is. And after this radical declaration by Jesus, he told them something that was very personal, something that they did not want to hear. He didn't back down from the truth. Look at verse 38. "And you do not have his word abiding in you. You do not believe the one whom he has sent." Basically, Jesus stood before these men who thought they knew the Scriptures, these men who had memorized the first five books of the Bible, these men who everybody else in this world looked up to, went to wisdom for, and he said, "Guess what? God's Word is not in you. It does not abide in you. Yes, yes, you have it memorized. Yes, people come to you and look to you, but guess what? You deny me. You deny me, you deny my Father. God's Word is not in you. You do not believe me. I am God the Son and I came from God the Father." And I think that's important for us to see here. I think sometimes we overlook that who sent Jesus? God the Father did.
And then you see the obedience in Christ that we sang about this morning, about He freely laid down His life. How obedient He is. That God the Father opened His mouth and declared who Jesus was. That God the Father is the witness. And I promise you, this is the only witness that we need. Something I read last week was talking about bumper stickers that are famous, that are on people's cars, and you see weird bumper stickers all the time, and you're like, you know, we just need to coexist, or we need to accept everything and accept everybody. And I oftentimes see the Darwinism eating the cross, or different things like that. And then you have even Christian bumper stickers, and one of the bumper stickers says, "God said it, I believe it, that's that." I saw a commentator, he commented on this, and he said, "How ignorant. That bumper sticker should really say, 'God said it, that's it.'" And that's all we need. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God is God. He bore witness to who Jesus is. That's it. If God said, "This is my Son," this is His Son. If whatever Jesus says is true, we must believe whatever He said is true. And He told these people, "God's word is not in you." So Jesus continues to build His list of testimonies. Look at verse 39. He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures, but in so doing, you think you have eternal life, but you missed what the Scriptures were about, the fact that the Scriptures were pointing to me. They were about the Messiah. They were about Jesus Christ." Now I have to pause and say this. I think there are still many people in this world who are just like what Jesus is preaching against. There are many people who say, "Hey, I know the Scriptures. And I've found salvation in the Scriptures. I've got everything memorized. I've gone to Bible drill. I've read all the books. I've gone to all the Bible studies." And Jesus says, "Yeah, but you don't have life in me. Like, you have to come to me. All you know is just a bunch of rules, a bunch of laws, a bunch of pages. But you miss the fact that it's pointing to grace. You miss the fact that it's pointing to Christ. The Scriptures that you read and studied pointed to the Messiah." He was speaking to the fundamental Jews. But today, the modern person is the one who carries their Bible to church every Sunday. They attend Bible studies, but they're missing the commands of Christ connected to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's a joy to follow Jesus, right? You know what that means? It's a joy to go and evangelize. It's a joy to sit down and share Jesus with your kids who aren't listening half the time. It's a joy to go to an apartment complex and get the doors slammed in your face. It's a joy to hand the gospel tract to somebody and they look at you and they get really upset or they yell at you. Because it's just how they treated Christ. Except you and I haven't been crucified to the cross and we haven't sweated blood yet. That it's a joy to live for Him. Just because we've studied the Bible for many years, that is not proof of salvation. The Scriptures lead to eternal life, yes, but that is because the Scriptures point to Christ. You have to see that. Jesus says, "Come to me, life is in me." And the problem with these people is that they would not go to Jesus. Look at verse 41. He expounds upon that. I do not receive glory from people. Jesus says this because He knew what was in them. You don't have God's love within you. That's what He says next. But I know that you do not have the love of God within you. Jesus was declaring to them, Isaiah 29:13. Going back to the Old Testament, the Lord said, because His people draw near with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, while their hearts are far from Me. And their fear of Me is a commandment taught by men. Means it's not a joy to obey because it's Christ. It's a law that they look at and they try to live by, but you can't live by it. That's why the laws were put in place. So we would be quiet and realize we need Christ. Jesus does not receive glory from them because they do not love God. They received glory from one another, but they did not seek the glory of Christ. Then look at verse 45. This is interesting. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe Me, for he wrote of Me. But if you do not believe his writings, how then will you believe My words? So now Jesus points to Moses in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, and He says of these Jews, you trust in Moses, yet you don't listen to Moses. You trust in Moses, but yet you really don't take heed to what he said, because he was pointing to Me. Moses' hope was not in himself. It was in Christ. And one day Moses will stand before you and he will accuse you. The one you hope in will accuse you. Wow, what a statement. The one you're placing everything in, he's going to stand before you. He'll accuse you. Jesus declared to him, the one you set your hope in is Moses. You do so foolishly because you don't even believe him. And so we have to look at a testimony of Moses. Numbers 21, beginning in verse 4, listen to this. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? I remember studying this when you were little. So wait, didn't God just deliver them? Yeah, now they're complaining about food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. The Lord did that. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. If a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Even Moses lifted high Christ and who He was. In Deuteronomy 18:15, it says this, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like Me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Speaking of Christ, God's Word points to Christ. Amen? And too many people miss that. That's who it's always pointing to. That God's Word testifies and is a witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is God. And the last thing we need to do is we need to examine our own lives. We must examine our life. What about you? What about you, dear one? Are you a witness for Christ? If Christ were to come back today in this room and stand before everyone here, and He says, I'm going to talk about all those in this room who are a witness for Me, would your name be on that list? Would you have a testimony for the Lord? Or maybe you're here this morning and the question is, have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation yourself? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Him? God commands repentance, and without it you are lost. You place your full trust in Christ and Christ alone, and you turn away from everything else. Examine yourself. not only to see if you're saved, examine yourself to see if you're obeying the Lord today. See, what's in the past is in the past. That's history. That's over and done with. We live in the here and the now. And if you're truly saved, you're not living for the here and the now. You're living for eternity. You're living for the things of God. Because the reality is, we are one day closer until He comes back or He calls us home. We had a man who's been visiting our church for a while, and he's spending time with family because his wife passed away last week. She suddenly fell in her home, and she was in a coma all week last week, and she passed away. They had been visiting our family. They come here a few times, and I went, and Travis and I spent time with him in the hospital, and as we talked with him, you could see God's grace all over his face. As we spoke to him, he said how the Lord had encouraged him, and he said he has accepted what had happened because God is sovereign. And he says, this is what the Lord has in store. In fact, the Lord has done so much. My son has gotten out of jail. My son is at home now, and he's seeing us live out our faith before his eyes as his mom passes away. And it was a sad time, but it was also a beautiful time to see God on display. You could see the testimony that he has. So examine yourself to see if you're obeying the Lord even now. Obedience to the Lord means an active faith. It means having an active faith. Even today, it's Father's Day. Men, today is a day to point your children and your wife to Christ. James 1:26 says this, "For as a body apart from the Spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." As Jesus looked in the lives of those men, He looked at them and He said, God's Word does not abide in you. But Jesus is Lord. When He comes back or He calls us home, He will look into our lives and He will execute judgment. But Jesus is Lord. That's the only witness that we need.